right, I want you to turn over into your Bible to Romans chapter 12, actually, first, and just a way of introduction to what we're going to see today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as we continue our study in, obviously, the book of Philippians. I'm looking at this year's vision, a vision to grow, and 2020 has given us an incredible opportunity to do that with everything that's gone on and continues to go on, and that's, we know when we really are able to grow, it's when we get stretched and we're going through trials and tribulations and some tough times. And last week we talked about the importance of prayer, you know, just dealing with having that prescription of peace in our life. And so we covered verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4, and again verse 7 talks about that peace of God which passes all understanding. Well, today we're going to look at having a renewed mind and just looking at verse 8 because there's so much in it, but hopefully it won't take as long as I did last week. But by way of introduction, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the first two verses of this chapter, the importance of having our mind renewed. I mean, every day we're confronted with the things of this world. I mean, whether, again, just bad news, whether it's just, you know, things that are just, again, obviously, that are worldly, that battles against our soul and mind. We battle against the things that, again, that we just struggle with, whatever situations and circumstances that are going on in our life. Maybe it's job-related, family-related, just whatever the case is. Maybe it's health-related. There's a lot of things that bombard us, and it can be a lot of things that get us down. There's a lot of things that can get us depressed. And that's why this message is so important, especially following up on what we saw last week about being able to have the peace of God as we spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. We follow up with understanding how we need to have our mind renewed. It needs to happen on a daily basis and sometimes throughout the day. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now look at verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, we need to have our mind renewed, and we need to have it renewed on a daily basis so that we do understand that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I like this. One time I heard this preach, and I've shared this before. It had been years ago in the church that I came from and got trained up in. But it was our missions conference, and we had this guest preacher in from Texas. And I don't remember his name or anything like that, but he was talking about this verse, and he says, "I'm not a Baptist, I'm a Gaptist, because of good, acceptable, perfect will of God." Gap. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I'm obviously going to steal that, you know, because that's really cool. It's exactly what we need to be, understanding the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. But to do that, we need to have our mind renewed, not conformed to this world, but being transformed. And one of the trends that we've been seeing lately in Christianity, I say lately, the last number of years, is that instead of the church standing on the truth of the Word of God, what we've done is conform more to the world. How can I get people in the church? And we have the church become more like the world instead of standing on truth. We need the truth of the Word of God on a daily basis. Why? So our mind is renewed so that, again, that we can help battle all the things that may get our minds down and be depressed on circumstances that are going on in your life. I want you to turn over to Ephesians real quick before we actually get into Philippians. Another verse of introductory for this message. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 23, and the context is just dealing with, as believers in Christ, we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. In other words, not walking according to the deeds of the flesh, but walking according to that new man that we have in Christ. But in verse 23, chapter 4, 23, simply says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Just like last week we talked about how we're supposed to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, it is a command that God gives us. This is a command that we have here, that our mind needs to be renewed. Now again, I am not a psychologist. I do have a degree in sociology, but I'm not a psychologist, and I don't understand ins and outs and everything about mental health or anything like that. But one thing that I see in the Word of God that can help us with our mental stability and health is the time that we spend with God in His Word. It is there to help us deal with all the emotions and everything that we can deal with as human beings on this planet. The Word of God is there to help us with those things. Now, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, let's actually look at the text that we're going to see here today. In verse 8, there's literally 8 things that we're supposed to think about. We're going to renew our mind. We need to think or meditate on the things that God has laid out for us. And He gives us 8 things to think about in verse 8. It says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, it's a command that God gives us. This is what we need to be thinking about. And it's interesting, if you know anything about numbers in the Bible, I try to point these things out every once in a while, but the number 8 in the Bible means new beginnings. We even see that in our world today. When you come to a stop sign, of which you're supposed to stop, I'll be honest with you, I've gotten countrified in my driving. You know, the rolling stop, that sort of thing, you know. But when I'm in a city, I make sure I come to a stop. But a stop sign, what do you do? You stop, and then you begin again. And it's, I don't know if it's an accident. I don't know if anybody thought this through, but the shape of a stop sign is what? It's an octagon. It has 8 sides. You stop, and you begin again. A musical scale. The scale, if I was to get on the piano and play the C scale, first note is the letter C. The 8th note is the letter C. It's beginning again. It's the same scale, same note. It's beginning again. Over and over again. Give you a Bible example, of course, and as far as Noah is concerned. Noah's flood. God wiped out all mankind, but he started all over with how many people? 8 people. Alright? Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. And you see it over and over again that 8 is the number of new beginning. And as we're talking about having a renewed mind, something that we're supposed to do on a daily basis, being in the Word of God, God gives us 8 things to think about so that we're able to do that. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in what we need to see in these 8 things today. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for your Word as always. Lord, it is not by accident that we're in the book of Philippians in 2020. It is not an accident that we are in these verses, in this chapter that we see in these last number last week and this week with everything that is going on. Lord, you are able to give us exactly what we need in your Word at the right time. Lord, you've shown that to me many, many times in my life, whether it just obviously me personally or in the life of a church and preaching and pastoring. It's amazing to see that you give us exactly what we need. Lord, I know we need this verse today. Lord, I know that we need these 8 things to think on. Lord, I know that we need this today in our lives because I know all of us in some aspect there's things that weigh us down. You talked to us last week about the importance of how we need to pray to you and how that we're able to have the peace that comes from you as we spend time and just giving you everything on our hearts and on our minds so that we can have peace of heart and mind. And then we follow up this week in understanding, Lord, that you give us 8 things to be able to think on, to renew our mind. Lord, help us to take this message to heart. Lord, help us to, not just hear it and then we go about our ways and doing things like we always do. Lord, help us to apply the truth of the Word of God in our lives. Help us to be able to combat all the things that come against us. And indeed, the mind is where the warfare is at. And how we think and what we think, Lord. So please help us to understand this today and apply it to our lives. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As again, with all these 8 things that we're talking about, obviously I could spend all day in dealing with each one. I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to give like 1 cross-reference to each and for the most part. And I know it's going to be some going back and forth a little bit. But I want you to understand, as we come through this, these are the things that we're supposed to think about. And again, I'm just going to give you, like I said, 1 cross-reference at a time. And you're going to notice that there's a certain theme that happens as we're going through verse 8 here. First off, it says this, finally, brethren. I mean, Paul's coming through. He's been writing this letter. Now he's getting down to the end of things here. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Okay? So we need to think about that which is true. True. Again, put a bookmark in Philippians chapter 4, but I want you to go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to look in verse 160. Now, Psalm 119 happens to be the biggest chapter in the Bible. Biggest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses based off the Hebrew alphabet that has 22 letters in it. And interesting enough, there's 8 verses per stanza. All right, and you see all kinds of emotions and everything that goes through not only in the book of Psalms, but in Psalm 119. And the overall theme of Psalm 119 is really David's love for the Word of God. And so I don't think it's an accident that it's by eight stanzas, again, based off the Hebrew alphabet, and again, that there are eight verses, that new beginning, that whole idea again. But I want you to notice what it says about just one of the times and one of the things it says about the Word of God in Psalm 119, verse 160. David says this. It says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." The Word of God is forever. It's everlasting. But I want you to notice that phrase there, "Thy Word is true from the beginning." Even "Thy Word is true." No matter what year you would have read this verse or now, guess what? It's still true. The Word of God is true. That's important to understand, because we live in a world today where people think about what? About the Word of God. That it has no relevance for today. It's an archaic book. It doesn't understand the times that we're living in, and so it can't answer the question. No, 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 no. The Word of God says what? It is true. It is present tense. It's true right now. When you wake up in the morning and you read the Word of God, guess what? It is still true. And so I need to be thinking about that, which is true. What's true? The Word of God is true. You go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest." All right, we know what the word honest means. It's not lie, it's not deception, it's not anything. It's honest. But I'm going to show you that it's, even in that, it's connected with dealing with the Word of God. If you go to the Gospel of Luke real quick, just Luke in chapter 8 and verse 15. Let's go back a few pages to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Give me a chance to get there. In the context of this, this is when Jesus is teaching in parables, and he's talking about the parable of a sower. And he talks about the four different hearts that the Word of God can come into. It talks about those seed of the Word of God, the seed, the Word, and sown into the heart of that, which is by the wayside. I mean, there's no fruit that's going to happen there. Satan comes and takes it. It's a kind of person that doesn't believe the Word of God whatsoever. But then it talks about those that fall on stony ground, where they receive the Word with joy and so forth. But when persecution arises, they fall away. They don't bear any fruit. It talks about the heart, that the seed that falls among the thorns. The thorns picture the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. And that chokes the Word in that person's heart, and it doesn't bear any fruit. But the fourth heart, as we see here, is an honest heart. I want you to notice what it says. Luke chapter 8, down in verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience." There is so much in that verse, and it's not my desire or my focus to be able to preach that verse specifically, just using it as a cross-reference. But you see what happens when you mix the Word of God with an honest heart. It's going to bear fruit and do it with patience. All right. A lot of times, again, I talk about how we live in a fast food society. We have been for years, decades now. We want everything right now, right now, right now. But we're talking about bearing fruit in our relationship with God. It takes time. It takes patience. All right? But you see, it's an honest heart. It's like, it's almost one of those things. It's like, if I'm going to think upon that which is honest, it goes and ties back to my time in the Word of God and see what is honest. What can I learn from somebody that has an honest heart? Oh, I can bear fruit in my life as well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 again. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just." That which is just is the same thing as that which is right. How do we know what is just? How do we know what is right? It comes back to what? The Word of God again. That's how I know what's just. That's how I know what's right. And you think about this, especially in the times that we live in today. How many times have you turned on the news and you've seen something that was a wrong, and the person that's doing wrong gets off, and the person who is actually doing right according to the law is getting what? Tried. Give you a case. Probably had one in mind already. That's all this week. Happens all the time. It's like judgment is turned around backwards in the day and age that we live in. Instead of following the law, instead of following the truth, we go over some ideology that we rather have. And we see it all the time, that the just And that which is just and right ends up getting in trouble, and those who are doing what's wrong get off. That's, unfortunately, some of the things that we're seeing today. But if I'm to think on that which is just, what am I going to be doing? Again, focus on a word. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. That's a great chapter where Paul talks about the struggle of, you know, I want to do what's right, but, you know, dealing with the sinful flesh is like the wrong comes out and all that. And he deals with that through this whole chapter. But I want you to notice what he says about the law or about the Word of God down in verse 12. So Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. He says this, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is us. Alright? It's one of those things like I shared with a number of weeks ago when I was on vacation, you know, and Trish and I on our 30th anniversary vacation, I got pulled over for speeding. Alright? It was a 35, I was going 46. Alright? I was 11 miles over. And my excuse or whatever, in a sense, well, I didn't just notice when the speed limit changed from 45 to 35. The police officer pulled me over, and graciously she gave me a warning and that. But it's like, if I got in a ticket, I got in a ticket. I can't argue against that. The traffic law says at that spot, it's 35 miles an hour. I was going 11 over. I broke the law. It would be just for her to have given me a ticket, but she decided to have mercy on me and just give me a warning. The law is the law. The problem is not with the speed limit sign. The problem was with my foot. The problem was with my eyes. My problem was I was distracted, wondering, making sure we're going the right way, and I didn't see the speed limit. It's not the law's fault. It was my fault. But we live in a day and age, what happens? It's like, disregard the law. It's like, we want to, instead of looking at us, we say, well, the law's wrong. We need to change the law. Or this is that made it, this is why I did whatever we have. Whatever kind of excuse. Except for looking inwardly and saying, you know what? I was wrong. And when it comes to, again, having, you know, our mind renewed, it's easy for us to get caught up and it's like, well, so-and-so got away with it. I don't know how many times when I was a municipal police officer, when I pulled somebody over and it's like, well, what about the other person? All right, you were going 80 and a 60. Well, the other person's going 81. Why'd you stop me? Or what about those murderers and those rapists out there? How come you're not pulling them over? Like, we have a radar gun that points, oh, there's a rapist. Better go get him. Alright? Take the spotlight off me. Let's put it on somebody else instead of focusing inward. You know what? I did wrong. And that's why it's important for us to spend time in the Word of God. And when the Word of God shows us that maybe what we're doing is not just, is not right, instead of arguing with the Word or the law, what do we need to do? Change our actions. Make sure it matches up to what the Word of God says. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Focus on what is pure. A lot of evil out there. A lot of corruption. But what's pure? Well, I want you to go back to the book of Psalms again, but this time Psalms 12. I went down to verses 6 and 7. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 12, verse 6. Love this. And it's such an incredible application with this. Again, pointing back to the Word of God. Psalm 12, verse 6 says this. The words, plural. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That number seven is a number of completion or perfection, where number eight is that of new beginnings. Number seven is God's number as far as dealing with what is complete and perfect. And so the Word of God is purified like seven times. It says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I can 100% stand up here and say we have the pure words of God. Right? When we open up the Word of God, we know that it is pure. There's no contradictions. There's no errors or anything like that. I know people want to talk about, oh yeah, there's contradictions. It says this over here and so forth and so forth. It's like, no, have you actually read and studied it out? All right? the Word of God is pure. And so if I'm going to think on that which is pure, then what do I need to do? I need to think upon that which is the Word of God. Like I said, you see a theme here with Paul. Here's some things I need to think about. All right? Whatever's true, the Word's true. Whatever is honest, well, the Word, God's honest. Whatsoever things are just, well, the Word of God is just. That's right. Whatsoever things are pure, well, the Word of God is pure. Over and over and over again, coming back to the Word. That's what I need to be thinking about. What does the Word say? What is the Word? That's why I emphasize it so much in my preaching. That's why I want it to be that I come to the Scriptures expositionally, word by word, for word, that we all have to be understanding what's going on, starting with me and everybody else, and being submitted to it. It's the Word of God. It's not about opinion. It's not about what the world thinks. Just like our introductory verse, not being conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's only going to happen as I spend time thinking on all these aspects of the Word of God. Now let's continue on. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 4. We'll continue on in our verse, in verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." Well, what's lovely? It's interesting. That word's not necessarily used too much in Scripture. But I want you to go back to Song of Solomon, a book that is not often looked at, taught through, preached about at all, but it's part of that, what we call the poetry books or the books of wisdom. We have the book of Job, we were just in the book of Psalms, we've got Proverbs after that, then Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon, all right? And this is a love story. And if you have never read through Song of Solomon, it's incredible, and it really is dealing with Solomon and his bride. And specifically, we look at it as a picture of Christ's relationship, that Solomon is a picture of Christ. And I want you to go to Song of Solomon chapter 5, last verse in verse 16. And the context is that the bride is describing to her friend, giving a description of her bridegroom, of her husband, of Solomon, but again, prophetically or doctrinally, is a picture of dealing with Jesus Christ. And notice what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "His mouth is most sweet." Now, we could spend some time on that one. It says, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." Everything about him is lovely. There's not anything that's wrong with him. It says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." I love the present tense of this. It's a present relationship. It's not something that is, you know, well, we started something, but then all of a sudden I really don't spend the time that I need to with my Lord. This is my beloved. It's like the Word of God is true every day. Well, our relationship practically with the Lord should be that. If I'm going to have my mind renewed, it's not only the focus and thinking and meditating on the Word of God, it's the focus and thinking and meditating on my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my beloved. Everything. He is altogether lovely. And what starts it out is his mouth. Now, when you think about the mouth, what do we think about? What comes out of your mouth? Words. Why is his mouth sweet? Well, the Word of God is described as honey. It is sweet. The things that he says is sweet. And he's altogether lovely. And as I spend time with my Lord and thinking and meditating upon him, it brings me right back to the Word of God. Everything I know and everything that you can know about your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is right here in the Word of God. And the reason why I stress that so much is because we sadly live in a Christianity that we stress prayer. We stress that, oh, you know, we need to love the Lord. I mean, I'm sure there's a gabillion messages that are like that going out right now today. But we don't emphasize and stress the Word of God. We don't stress and emphasize that every member needs to have a relationship with God through the Word of God that you can read, you can study, you can learn and grow your relationship with the Lord through the Word of God. You just don't need a pastor to do that. That doesn't mean that next week nobody comes to church. You said it, Charles. That's all I'm talking about. I mean, church is important and so forth, and that's why we have it. That's why, you know, we have pastors and teachers and so forth and so on. But your relationship with the Lord should not be solely tied to what I get with the Lord. That's a dangerous thing. Now, I'm going to do everything in my power not to try to steer you in the wrong direction or anything like that, but it's a personal relationship. He needs to be your beloved. You need to understand that what's coming out of His mouth is sweet to you, that you want to spend time with Him. Now, if there's anything that I think we understand today, especially in light of 2020 and the shutdowns and staying at home and stuff like that, with that, how much you miss face-to-face contact with your loved ones, how important that is, that desire just to be just human touch, getting a hug. All this, I think we understand that a little bit more and how we miss that, how we desire that, crave that. I'm going to tell you right now, we have a Lord Jesus Christ in heaven that He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to have that, in a sense, human touch. He wants to be able, and the only way that's able to happen, because we're not able to take a bus or a spaceship or anything to heaven, and right now Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, He's not coming back yet. The only way we have that kind of personal time with Him is how? As we spend time in prayer, like we talked about last week, but it comes right back to what? The Word of God. And sadly, we have a Christianity that we don't emphasize the Word of God, really. Preachers don't emphasize the Word of God. They may take a verse and all of a sudden they start spewing what they think or their opinions or whatever the case is or whatever they got in mind that they want to talk about and it's not what God wants to talk about. And people are anemic when it comes to the Word of God in their life. Right? It doesn't mean, again, you have to be Bible scholars. It doesn't mean that you got to think that you got to know everything there is to know about the Word of God. I'm talking about just simply, every day, take some time to be in the Word of God and realize that your Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. And to think upon Him. All right, for us married folk, you know how it was when you're dating your loved one. You want to spend time with them, right? Want to talk to them. What's going on in your life, in your day? You know, that sort of thing. You wanted to spend time with them. Well, that should be the case with our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. I do want to give you another reference in this one. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. A very familiar verse, verses 7 and 8. But again, this is something that we need to think on. Alright, whatsoever things are lovely. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is lovely, and we should want to love to spend time with Him and love for Him to come back for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to look down at verse 7 and 8. I'm including verse 7 because it really is the proof of what it says in verse 8. It says this, I have fought a good fight. This is the end of Paul's life. He's giving his last words to Timothy. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, that's the tie-in, the context, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, we're getting a reward. Well, how do we get this reward? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So here's the simple. If you love His appearing, if you're looking for the Lord coming back, then you want to be like Paul in verse 7. Fight a good fight. Finish the course that God has given to you. And again, keep the faith. That's how you show that we love Him and want to do what that He's requiring us to do, what He wants us to do, before He comes back. And Paul was able to do that. We know that this is a true fact because it's preserved here for us, the Word of God. So, if I'm going to think on that which is lovely, it comes down to me thinking on my relationship with the Lord on a daily basis and doing what? I am looking for His opinion. How many of us would get up in the morning and we think, man, maybe this is the day. Maybe the Lord's coming back today. And if the Lord is coming back today, am I ready for the Lord to come back today? Am I doing what He wants me to do? If I say that I love the Lord, then, again, as Jesus said to His disciples, the nation of Israel, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, God has given us commandments in our dispensation of grace. Are we keeping those things that God has given us, just even like last week? What was the command that we talked about last week? Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's a command. Am I doing that? If I'm loving Him, am I thinking about that which is true, that which is honest, that which is just, pure, lovely? Am I thinking those things? He's commanding me to do that. Am I doing that? Or am I just allowing the world to affect my mind over and over and over again and being conformed to this world instead of having my mind renewed? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We continue on. It says, henceforth there is laid up for me a... I'm reading a verse 8, all right, but that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. A good report. It's interesting, that phrase itself is not used in Scripture that often. A good report. You know how a good report is. I mean, you know, if you remember back to the days you're in school and you got that report card coming out. Now, if there's some classes in there that you didn't do too well and you weren't too excited about showing your parents that your report card because you know it wasn't going to go too well, you know. But, you know, everything, you're making good grades. It's like, hey, here's my report card. Y'all happy, all proud. Parents that feel good about it when they get a good report, you know. I've told you before times where in my senior year that I said some things to a teacher that I shouldn't have said and ended up getting suspended for 3 days. That wasn't a good report that I gave my dad. He wasn't too happy about that. All right? A good report. I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 15. I want to show you in Scripture what a good report can do for you. Proverbs chapter 15, I'm going to look down in verse 30. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. It says this. Again, Proverbs is how to govern, literally, your life. That's what the Proverbs is all about. How are you supposed to live your life? And again, it's going to be according to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that comes from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30 says this. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, what does that mean? All right? It's like, I don't think I like that. I want fat bones. No, it's about being in health. All right? It's a good thing. A good report is going to help you. It's giving you health. Now, one of the things I started out talking about and the importance of having your mind renewed is to have healthy mental situation and circumstance that we're focused on that which is good. And again, it ties us right back to what? Word of God again. What is a good report? This is a good report. Because it tells us that in Christ, that's how we have the victory. No matter what the circumstance is, we're able to have the victory. It's through the Word of God that we can be solid in our stance, grounded, not able to be moved by the things and the winds of doctrines of this world. Good report. It is. Before I came to church today, I was looking at this commercial that was on as I was looking at the news. Of course, there's a lot of bad stuff that's in the news and everything like that, but commercial, and I don't think I've ever seen it before. But you have these two parents in this concert, and each one of them thought the other one had the kid. Right? But the kid was gone. The kid was backstage, and all of a sudden the curtain opens up, and the kid comes out on the stage, and he's sitting down at the piano. And he starts playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Now the parents are just like, oh my gosh. Then the pianist comes out there, tells the little kid, don't stop, keep playing. And he gets down by him and starts adding to it and everything like that. And it was an incredible song and everything like that. And at the end, they get up and they both bow. And the whole commercial is about paying it forward and being encouraging. And of course the parents are standing up all, that's my boy! Yeah, you know, all that other stuff. And it was like looking at that commercial, simple little commercial, that did my heart good. Why? I am a news junkie. I like, and it's more world news for me than anything else, but I like watching news, and there's so much wrong that's going on, but I like to be informed of what's going on. I mean, I do, but there's so much wrong. But just to have that one commercial that probably took 30 seconds did so much good for me. And it was encouraging. Like, you know what? That's what we need to be as a society, is encouraging one another. And that hey, let me share this good story, this good report with you. Because it's going to help everybody else in their mental stability. It's like, you know, there is good out there. And if there's anything that we need in 2020, is a good report. And that happens as we see people do the right things for the right reasons, because what? It's based on that which is true, which is honest, which is just, which is pure, which is lovely, which is a good report. The Word of God in relationship with Christ. That's what we need right now. We want to talk about an essential business. This is essential. You want to talk about what's going to get us back to quote-unquote normal. Again, I don't have a problem with science whatsoever, but every time I see a commercial like that, it's all based on science is going to get us back. Science. Yeah, nothing wrong with science. I like science. I like medications that work. Trust me. I'm not some guy up here that's like, oh, forget all that stuff. No. But you know what else? You know what they're forgetting? It's not going to be science. We need Scripture. We need the Word. That's going to mentally keep me where I need to be. You go back to Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue. It's an incredible word. Literally that word virtue, we can think of it as, you know, what's moral, you know, not all the different vices and things of this world, and that's a definition of that which is a virtue. We can think of it as the same aspect of bravery and valor, I mean, as far as something that does a virtuous act. But that word virtuous literally means strength that is going to affect somebody else. Virtue. That which is going to affect and give strength to somebody else. Well, how do you know that? Well, let's look at Luke again, but this time I want you to go to chapter 6 and verse 19. Luke chapter 6 and verse 19. Hopefully this is dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. A simple verse here that says so much. Luke chapter 6 and verse 19. Now, I'm going to start in verse 17 to get a little bit of the context. Luke chapter 6, I'll start in verse 17, but verse 19 is where we're getting to. It says this, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon." That's some ways away. "Which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." They just want to be able to touch him because they know that virtue is going to come out of him. Strength, that which is going to make them whole, is going to come out of Jesus. If I can just touch him. It also reminds me of the woman that had the issue of blood for some, I think it was like 12 years. And there's nothing that the doctors were able to do to help her. All right, and she just thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And that's exactly what she does. Jesus turned around and says, "Who touched me?" And his disciples are like, "Jesus, are you crazy? Everybody is thronging you." Yeah, but there's one person that touched me. In faith, virtue goes out, heals her. It's interesting, just even in this verse that we read, that everybody that touched him was healed. Virtue, strength went out and affected him. As I said before, we need to have a personal, each and every one of us, a personal relationship and walk with the Lord, spending time with him. How often do we touch him? That we get the strength, the virtue that we need from our Lord. How often do we think upon him in his virtue? My goodness, my Friday into Saturday at work, it was like 10-hour shift. It felt like it was the longest shift of my life. I was so tired.
I probably walked around the facility several times, keep myself awake and just praying and thinking about this message and just thinking about people and praying as I go.
Lord, give me strength. Give me virtue to be able to make it through this shit.
How often do we get run down? I mean, we wake up and it's like we're not even refreshed. It's like, man, I could didn't sleep too well. Do we think about how we can get some virtue today? Man, I just need to touch Jesus. And the way that we're able to do that, right here. Right here.
Let me touch my Lord in a sense. Have some virtue. Let me read here. I'm feeling pretty down in the dumps today. Psalms is a good place to kind of deal with that. Let me spend some time in the Word. Get some virtue.
If there be any virtue, the last one, number 8, if there be any praise. I want you to go to Psalms again, but this time Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Look at verse 4, verse 10. It says this. In fact, it's in my particular Bible, this publisher, they have a pre-text note or whatever about gives you a little bit of the context of how the psalm was made. They entitled here Times of Distress. It says that Psalm 56 is to the chief musician upon Jonathan Lem Rekko, whatever, I can't pronounce it. it's a musical terms and stuff like that, but it's a mixed hymn of David. But it says this, when the Philistines took him in Gath. So he's going through a tough time. He is. Very tough. His enemies have got him. And one of the things that he says, Psalm 56 down to verse 4, actually, I'll read from verse 3. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So much so, it says the same thing in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. That's an awesome place to be. You're not concerned about what the enemy is going to do to you because you know why? Because of God's word. Because of trusting in the God of the word.
In God, in the Lord, I'm going to praise his word. What can I think on? Let me think upon and let me praise God's word because it's what's going to allow me to get through the day.
Like when I was getting ready this morning before leaving, it's like I'm getting ready and I'm praying about the message and everything like that, but I automatically start thinking about, okay, you know, the rest of the day, what am I going to do when I get home? Well, you know, got to watch the Chiefs game. I mean, that's just priority. It is still on, right? There's not some bad news that all of a sudden got canceled, right? Okay, Chiefs are still on. All right, got to help me out, congregation. It's like, geez Louise, I mean, I can wreck my day. I have to go to the Bible real quick. I'm depressed, no Chiefs. No. But I'm thinking about, okay, I got to put this message online. I'm thinking about, you know, okay, I got this and that to do. I got to start looking at the next message and everything like that and start thinking about my day, my week and everything like that. And it's like, wait a minute, hold it. The Lord's like, the first thing we got to do is just deal with today. Deal with right now. Deal with what you're getting ready to do. Let me just focus in on this message. As far as I know, I can drop dead of a heart attack once I say amen and done. That won't happen for me. Alright, I don't know what's going to happen. Let me just think about right now. And my point is, it's like, we can get ourselves so worked up on things that may not even happen or whatever the circumstance is, and we get our minds going and thinking, well, what if this happens? And if, as I heard when I was a kid, if the dog caught the rabbit, he would have had lunch. Yes, we can talk about if all day long. And that's what we do. We get our mind, we get it all worked up. It's like, what's right now? What do I need to do right now and deal with the issues and the circumstances that are right now? And if we are worried about it, what are we supposed to do? What did we learn last week? be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. What are we learning this week? Is my mind all, you know, it's got problems and I'm thinking about stuff and getting all worked up? What am I supposed to be thinking about? Let me spend some time on the Word. Let me think on that which is true. Let me think about that which is honest. Let me think about that which is just. Let me think about what is pure. Let me think about what's lovely. My relationship with the Lord. He is altogether lovely. And He's coming back for me someday. Man, I love that. Let me think about what has virtue. Let me think about what has praise. Let me spend some time in the Word. Oh, since we're in Psalms, I want to end it with this. I want you to go back to Psalm 1. The very first Psalm in the biggest book of the Bible. 150 chapters. It starts off this way. In the middle of your Bible. Interesting enough. Kind of a balancing point. We talked about that just a couple weeks ago. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Being moderate, being balanced and everything. Well, interesting enough, the biggest book in the Bible that has the biggest chapter, as well as the smallest chapter in the Bible, right here, the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, I want you to look at verses 1 to 3. End it like we began, really. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Alright? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy if you're not doing these things. These things that are the world. Again, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Alright? Psalm 1 again, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The scornful is a person that is mad at God for whatever reasons. That's a scornful person. You don't want to be sitting where they sit. For contrast, verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, there be a good report." All right? Virtue, praise, think on these things. In other words, meditate on them. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse 3 talks about the fruit that you can have because of that. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That should sound kind of familiar, because I gave you a reference last week in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, that pretty much said the same thing. Not being careful. A tree that's planted by the waters is going to still bear fruit. Alright? Jeremiah understood that. David understood that. But the point is this, verse 2. If we delight, then we're going to think about it. We're going to meditate on it. Day and night. One of my challenges that I have every day, it's not just because I first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I spend time in the Word. I spend time in my own, when I'm reading in the Word of God for me, I spend time reviewing whatever I'm going to be preaching and teaching during the week. But I don't want it to be that I have that time in the morning time and then I don't think about the Word of God for the rest of the day until the next morning. No. I want to try to meditate in it day and night. I want to think about it. Something comes up that, what does the Word of God say? For those of you who are struggling, and I seriously, wholeheartedly mean this. I mean, whatever issues and circumstances that is plaguing your mind right now, I want to encourage you to do what we talked about last week and just talk to God about it. Pray about it. That's how we can have that access to that peace that passes all understanding that's going to keep our heart, our emotions, our mind, our thoughts through Christ Jesus. But to continue on with that, and again, I want you to think and meditate on the Word of God. You got time. You're having a tough day. Maybe it's work, whatever. You get a lunch break. Why not just spend some time reading the Word? Have you ever tried it? Take your 30-minute lunch, or if you got an hour, whatever it is, and you know what? I'm not only going to eat physically, I'm going to eat spiritually. And just spend some time reading the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I don't understand all the Word of God. And there's some hard words in there. Don't let Satan and your flesh use that as an excuse to get you away from the very thing that can change your mind. Renew your mind. Start reading. Just read. That night, maybe you get home from work and you're just absolutely exhausted. It's a tough day at work. Had to deal with things that you didn't like dealing with, whatever. It's like, have you ever tried just taking some time? I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to spend some time in the Word. Have you ever tried it? If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. Some mornings that you're getting up, you know it's going to be a tough day at work. You know there's some stuff that you have to deal with, or whatever the case is. Why don't you get your mind renewed? Spend some time in the Word. Let the Lord give you some virtue, some strength. He knows what you're going to deal with. The day you get up, you may be, hey, you think it's going to be a normal day. Then all of a sudden, literally, all hell breaks loose. The pastor said hell. It's in the Bible, I can say it. It's in the Bible, I can say it. I'm messing with you. But in all seriousness, take some time. Read the Word. There were times when we were in Canada, living in Canada, and Trish and I, we volunteered for a victim service unit, and there'd be times in Netherlands I would do this as far as being on call and doing death notifications and all that. And it's like if I get, you know, some call at 2 in the morning that I need to go somewhere and have to do that tragic situation of notifying a family that a loved one has passed away, one thing I'd always do before I get to my car is I read a verse or two. I don't know how long I'm going to be out, stuff like that. It's going to be a tough situation. I want to have my mind armed, renewed, with something in the Word of God to have that strength and stability to deal with the circumstance. Folks, this is not a hard message today. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to get grasp, to get a hold of. It's just a matter of if we're going to choose to do it or not. A lot of times we talk about, you know, man, I'm just mentally, I'm drained and so forth and going on, and it's like, it's hard. Have we ever stopped and just think, you know what, I'm just going to read my book. Read the Word of God. That's what I want to encourage you to do. Not just for the day, not just for tomorrow, but every day that we're on this planet, that we spend time in God's Word, because that's how we have a relationship with the Lord, that He is going to be able to renew our mind. And so it's not conformed to the craziness of this world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for your Word. I thank you for everything that you've shown us. I mean, and this is an incredible verse, and there's a lot to it, and we could have multiple cross-references for each point. But Lord, I pray that enough was said, enough, Lord, that you be able to work in people's hearts to encourage them to spend time in the Word. I think about that commercial again with a young boy playing a simple song, really, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and having the professional come up and add to it to help encourage him. I know it's like that for Christians. They may hear me preach and hear me teach in the Word of God and think there's no way I could ever just know that or understand these things. It's not a matter of that. If all a Christian knows is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star Bible-wise, all they know that Jesus Christ saved them, that's fine. Start there. Start reading there. Father, I pray that people will not get sucked into the lie of thinking that, well, the Word of God is hard to understand and there's so many big words and, you know, you're not going to understand anything, so you might as well not even pick it up. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Lord, I want to encourage everyone that hears this message just to reach out and touch you by spending time in the Word and prayer, because I know that you will renew their mind. I know that you will help them deal with the craziness of this world. It is so needed. If we're going to grow through the trials and the struggles,
It's going to be because of your word and our walk with you. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.